It says, the correction of fear is your responsibility. Great. When you ask for release from fear, you are implying that it is not your responsibility to correct the fear. Instead of asking for release from fear, you should ask instead for help in the conditions that have brought the fear about. When I noticed when I first started studying the course that it almost anticipated the questions that would come up in me before I even asked them. Like if you ask yourself, what are the conditions? The very next sentence says, these conditions always entail a willingness to be separate. So fear is ultimately coming from a willingness to be separate. It may take a variety of forms in your life, but it's ultimately coming from my willingness to be separate. And from a Course perspective, it's my willingness to be separate from God, from love, from Source. Because the Course teaches that all problems are a reflection of the separation from God. The belief that we're separate from our Source, the belief that we're separate from love. So what makes the Course, to me, such a great teaching is that rather than going through a million different things and trying to straighten out all those million different things that bothers us, a person that really studies the Course really is dealing with the core issue that's creating the variety of fears that we deal with. So you can do it. I mean, you can deal with your fear of dogs and your fear of flying and your fear of loss and your fear of money. And you can apply the truth to each one of those, and that's perfectly okay as you deal with it. But you could go right to the root and deal with the fact that I feel separate from love. I feel separate from God. I feel separate from Source. The reason why that's a challenge for most people is they don't think that's the problem. They think the problem is whatever they think the problem is. So it's like you being convinced that the problem with your car is the motor and it's really the transmission. You know, saying the reason why it's not moving, you know. So but if you get in touch with the real cause, then the rest of the problems are gone. So the Course in Miracles is saying the real cause of separation is our sense of separation from God. It's our sense of separation from our Source, our Creator. We did not create ourselves. We did not create ourselves, and we don't exist just because two people had sex, and therefore our bodies were born into the world, which is the popular conception of conception. Only thing that those two people did was to basically create a vehicle for your soul to manifest through in the physical plane. They did not create you. Your parents did not create you. They more or less provided the blueprint for the body. That's it. You know, and from a truth perspective, from the ego human perspective, you can go all through your ancestry, the DNA, and all that other good stuff. But those are just other smoke screens to get us away from the real realization. And if you are afraid right now, it's because you feel like you're separate from your Source. If you knew you were connected with the most powerful healing force in the universe, there's no way you could be worried about whatever it is you're worried about. Agree? If we really knew, not say we know, but if we really knew that you were completely protected, you wouldn't be afraid. If we really knew we were completely sustained, we wouldn't be afraid. So the Course in Miracles is teaching that all fear is ultimately the result of a willingness to be separate. What is the cause of all fear? What is the cause of all fear?
All right, and then we can
break that down to like, I'm willing to be separate from you. I'm willing to be separate from my boss. I'm willing to be separate from myself. I'm willing to be separate from my job. I'm willing to be separate from my prosperity. I'm willing to be separate from my from right relationship. You know, and so it's still a form of willingness to be separate. That's the condition that brings the fear about. And the ones that I'm willing to be separate and therefore I go into fear, then I create a form of fear that kind of corresponds with whatever the sense of separation is based on. For instance, if a person, in general metaphysics, if a person has heart trouble, that's a reflection of feeling like there's a lack of love. If a person has kidney problems, that's related to some attitude they have about release that they need to let go of. They got a migraine, there's something about their thinking that's causing them pain. It's every physical condition has a corresponding mental or idea equivalent that's still rooted in some form of fear. So you can tell a lot about what you think and feel by the physical condition of your body and your physical environment. So it's not just your body. The Course says, you know, your perception is your body. You know, so you live inside your perception, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like I'm inside of the way I see things. So the Course describes your perception as your body, and one form your perception takes is the physical body itself. Because if I want to be separate and different, I have to have something to be separate and different in. That's not, if we're one and we want to pretend that we're not, we've got to come up with something to make us think we are. So that's different appearances, different bodies, different beliefs. And then that gives us the illusion that we're different, because we all look different, and then we all have our different beliefs, and then we all have our different bodies. Agreed? Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's where the separation comes from. It's a perception based on the idea that we're separate. Okay? Any questions about anything I've said? Like I said, Wednesday, I'm totally open to having my brains picked. I've studied this 27 years. Please, don't let me have done it for nothing.
Here.
Okay.
I guess my thought is, even within the suffering, how handy, you know, God directs us with the pain. And then, where is the pain? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He sends the message, okay, there's the thinking, you know, you need to look at your thinking.
Right. Right.
And then, where is it? You know, I had a client last night, she's like, my head, and like these spikes in my head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
I pulled out that book, like, oh, what does it say about migraines?
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
Exactly,
right.
Even
right.
Telling you what part of the body, your
yeah.
stomach,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So it's still like,
yeah.
trying to help there.
What's the name of that book by Louise Hay?
Heal Your Body.
Yeah. That book is a great book. As far as getting you in touch with what ideas you have. And then you have to remember that what you think of as your conscious idea about yourself is just your latest interpretation of who you are. It really doesn't have anything to do with your hardcore conscious beliefs about yourself, or we wouldn't go through so many moods from day to day. So the fact that you can feel good today, and you feel bad yesterday, then you feel good again this afternoon, you would hardly say that's yourself, because if that's yourself, you're also saying there's nothing stable about you to know. That's what you are experiencing is a constantly changing interpretation of your life and yourself from moment to moment, which then affects your feelings, which then affects your mood. But that's not you. That's just the way you're seeing things affecting the way you are expressing yourself. But the ego will tell you, that's me. I feel sad right now. I feel happy right now. And it's okay to say those things, but you're also insinuating to yourself that there isn't some solid part of you that's stable, that doesn't always change because of every little thing that comes up. And that's the part of us that the Course is trying to get us in touch with. That part of us that's eternal, that's peaceful, that's loving, that never is affected by the illusions of this world and the things that's going on in this world. So we're really trying to go beneath our ideas, our misperceptions of ourselves. So it says, these conditions always entail a willingness to be separate. At that level, what level? The level of the willingness to be separate, you can help it. So if the problem is the level of my willingness to be separate, then I can help it by changing my mind about my willingness to be separate. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go, like if it was a person, go try to talk to the person that you feel separate from and get them to somehow change their mind because you're ready no longer to be separate. They may not have come to that conclusion yet. So what you want to do is correct your willingness to be separate, and it goes something like this. I drop this. I'm willing to drop this. I'm willing to let it go. When you're ready to join in peace, I'm ready to join with you. In the meantime, I'm going to go about my life and have a peaceful time. And when you decide that you want to join me, I'm willing. I'm not going to throw up in your face everything you did. I'm not going to constantly bring up the past. If you really want to go ahead in sanity and joy and peace, then I'll join you where you are. And that's the way I deal with people who get upset with me and who I get upset with. You know, I'm not mad just because you're mad. I'm willing to have peace. When you're ready to have peace, I'm willing to have peace with you. I'm mad at you. I need to change my mind. As soon as I change my mind, then I'm going to let it go. Hopefully you will have let it go also. If you don't, then I'm still going to be willing to join with you, but I'll be willing to join with you when you're ready to join with me, And if you're not ready to join me yet, that's okay. You got that right, but I'm going to still go about my experience because I've let it go. Okay, everybody with me on that? Okay. So he says, you are much too tolerant of mind wandering. The course is so visual. Did y'all see that? Don't you mind do that all the time? Like right now, it's probably wandering around. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little kid. Come back over here, sit down. Tell your man, come on back over here, sit down. You know. What's up?
I just a minute.
That's right. I always got time for love. Ain't got no problem with that. Good. I'm telling you, we're on page 29, Jody.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So the particular result doesn't matter, but the fundamental error does. No, he says here's another tip if you read, trying to learn how to read the course. It reads as if you don't understand anything it's saying. And so far, we're pretty good at that, right? Okay. So, what does that mean? It means that it anticipates everything you're going to say, and if you keep on reading, it always answers what you're wondering about if you keep going forward and don't go backwards. For instance, if it goes, you are much too tolerant of mind wandering, then you go, what does that mean? You are passively condoning your mind's miscreations. I'm okay about the thoughts that I'm having that I know are not right. I don't really try to change them. What does that mean? Well, it means that the correction is always the same. And here's the correction. The correction is, before you choose to do anything, ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If you are sure that your choice is in accord with mine, there will be no fear. Now, when it says ask me, there are many different ways you can look at the ask me. Ask me means you can ask your inner guide. Ask me means if those of you who are open and receptive to the idea of the correct perception of Jesus, which I now have after getting the incorrect perception of Jesus as a child, then I go, I don't have a problem with going to Jesus. Whatever your name is for your higher self or for a higher power, or you could just say, if it's really in tune with your real self. You know, before you choose to do something, ask yourself, is this really, 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 really in accord with me, what I'm getting ready to do? Is this really in accord with me? If it is, there will be no fear. And even if it's the wrong choice, you wouldn't be afraid. You'd still go ahead and do it, but you'd be so happy to do it. And we've done that, you know. We totally jumped into something that wasn't good for us, but at the time, it was like, I went out of a call with myself. I wasn't out of a call. It might have been the wrong thing to jump in, but I wasn't out of a call with myself. So I would rather do something being totally congruent within myself than to do something in conflict, no matter what that is. Wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you rather do something from a place of peace than a place of conflict?
Yeah, but wait a minute. What did you just say? So even if it feels good and you do it, but it might not be the right thing?
You won't have any fear about doing it if it's in accord with you. That doesn't mean necessarily what you're getting ready to do will always be the best thing for you to do.
Yes.
You just won't be in any fear about it. And the name of the game is letting go of fear. You know, it's like Eva Knievel, who passed a few weeks ago, you know, back in the day, he was like this incredible motorcycle guy that would jump over like 20 buses, you know. It's like, to me, he was kind of bored, but he, in order to do that, he had to be in a state of attunement with himself, where he didn't have any fear about jumping the bus. Now, I wouldn't jump a bus, but he had a better chance of doing it if he wasn't afraid. So basically what I'm hearing is that what you want to do is act from love and not from fear. No matter what, you want to try to come from peace and not from fear. And usually when you're coming from peace, even if you're about to do something wrong, you will see it faster if you're in peace than you would if you were in conflict, even if you need to change your mind about it. Peace gives you clearer perception than conflict does. Yes, Dominic.
So the name of the game is let go of fear, not never make a mistake.
Right. The name of the game is letting go of fear, not ever making a mistake, and then understanding that the mistake is just a mistake, and then don't turn around and crucify yourself about the mistake. That's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to make sure you get some A1 mistake sauce. And then, this is A1, you know what I'm saying? Now it's a little of this on your mistake is spicy. That's what I'm talking about. As you know, that's what I'm talking about. So anyway. Anybody else? Okay. So if you learn how to read the Course, now watch this. If you go, what does that mean, passively condoning my mind's miscreations? Well, understand that the particular result, see, that's what I say, the particular result doesn't matter. I have to say it again. The particular result doesn't, because if you don't, and let's say you want to have a relationship, since the Course is really about relationship. Most people don't know that the Course in Miracles really is a book about how to have peaceful, right relationship. It says that this is a path for people who want to use relationships as a path. Okay, and so it's telling us that, so if you are afraid to make a mistake, you probably won't let yourself have a lot of relationships. And so people who are afraid to make a mistake in love, and they tell they made a mistake and they were hurt, then they go years and years and years and years before they have another one. Why? Because they can't handle making a mistake. So they don't know how many opportunities to have a really cool relationship that they miss. That's because their pride is telling them, I should never make a mistake no matter what I do, so I'm never going to try that again because I might make a mistake. And another thing you have to watch too is, you tried to do something when you were in a more fearful, unconscious mind, whether it was a job or a career, whatever you tried to do, and it didn't work out. Just because it didn't work when you were in your old mind, it doesn't mean that same thing wouldn't work out beautifully now that you're in your right mind. So don't go, well, I tried that in the past and it didn't work. No, you tried that in the past when you were a whole person in the past, feeling so you can't judge. That's if you find it's something you really want to do, but you're keeping yourself from doing because you said, I tried that one time and it didn't work out. You know. So let go of the fear of mistakes so you can have a fun life. Let go of the fear of making mistakes so you can have a fun life. Let go of the fear of making mistakes so you can have a fun life. Because the truth is, there's nothing you can do to turn to change eternal love, and there's nothing you can do to change who you really are. So none of your mistakes affect anything that's real anyway. And you're real. So if you live your life, never want to make a mistake, you're not going to have a very exciting life. You're going to have a life of fear, where you try one thing, it don't work out, you don't do nothing else, and you wait for somebody to rescue you, save you, take care of you, which a lot of people are doing. You know. The correction is, he says, the particular result doesn't matter, but what the fundamental error does matter. What is the fundamental error? The willingness to be separate. What's the fundamental error? Being too tolerant of mind wandering. What's the fundamental error? Condoning my mind's miscreations. See, everything it says is right there in front of you. Then it says, before you choose to do anything, ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If you are sure that it is, you won't be afraid. If you're sure that it is, you won't be afraid. Okay. Fear is always a sign of strain. What does that mean? Fear arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. I want to do one thing, but I'm doing another. I want to do one thing. I'm mad at you, right? And I really want to get away from you for a while. But I try to talk to you right now. But I really don't want to talk to you right now. See, that's the opposite kind of example of what people would have expected. Uh-huh. People would expect me to say, well, I really want to heal with you, you know, and I'm not doing it. No, I don't want to talk to you right now, babe. And I'm not going to talk to you right now. Now I feel peaceful because I don't want to talk to you and I'm not talking to you. Okay, I'm not in conflict. And if I honor myself, I'll get to the state faster where I want to talk to you. But right now, I'm incongruent. And so I might want to smack you inside the head, and I'm incongruent. And so I'm just going to do you a favor, and I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive off.
And like mantra rejection is protection at the time.
You would tell yourself whatever you needed to tell yourself to feel peace about the decision not to attack.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then it'll come.
Peace will come. Yeah, the peace will always come if you're congruent with yourself and you honor how you feel in the moment and you don't try to force yourself to be an idealized self.
What the poet says, I should say this at the call for love. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to try to say it at the call for love, even though I've got to bust my gut. You know what I'm saying? It would be better to go, I'm saying it as a call for love and I'm leaving for a while until I can respond with love. And it might be weeks. It might be months. It might be years. That's why you don't wait for the other person to forgive you before you move on with your experience. Because you don't. It might take 10 years. And we all may have stories of where we had separation from people for years. So suppose you had to stop right when they got mad at you and not go further in your life until they were okay. But people do that. They do that on the spiritual path. Like they don't want to live the level of consciousness they're on, because they're trying to make sure that the other person they're with can catch up with them. And they're like, that person probably isn't even interested. Mm-hmm. Let alone, like, they're working on it. They're not even thinking about it. And you say, well, I'm hanging around in this because I've been waiting for you to kind of wake up to the truth. And I'm just going to sit here until you wake up. You know, it's like watching somebody sleep and you're just sitting there watching them sleep. Or you could be doing something else until they wake up. It's kind of dumb. You know what I'm saying? You sleep, and I'm just going to sit here and watch you sleep. Because I don't want to go anywhere while you sleep.
If they're really pretty.
Yeah, if they're really pretty, that's some payoff. That's some payoff if they're really pretty. Like you all. Say, oh, you all are really pretty. I'd watch all y'all sleep. I'm so glad to watch y'all sleep. Especially with a few outfits I could come up for you to wear while I was watching. I'd just be right there. Okay, anyway. Help me. I was channeling you. That wasn't my thought. That was not my thought. That didn't come from me. That's probably pretty accurate in the first place. Oh, man. Anyway. So, yeah. Okay.
Just watching people not be awake, or they kind of wake up and then they fall back asleep. I mean, that love there and that call for love, like, I'm in that situation and I really don't know how to respond, because I don't want to carry anybody, you know, but my love is so big for, you know, this person that, you know, I do feel conflict and I feel that struggle and, you know, I can't find that peace.
Right. So the first thing that you would admit is that right now you're having a call for love. So they're having a call for love and you're having a call for love. So you're not any more responsible for healing their conflict or situation either. Like right now, your first priority has to be doing what's necessary to give yourself peace and to take the focus off that other person altogether. There's a line in the Course that says, it's a section that's called I Need Do Nothing. And he talks about how that you would do yourself more good in a situation where you don't really know what to do if you did nothing. If you're really not sure what to do, it's best not to do anything at all right now. So, and like you said, the conflict is not so much coming from not knowing what to do. The conflict is coming from you're not being all right about not knowing what to do and feeling like you ought to know what to do. So if you would make it okay for you not to know what to do, then again, you wouldn't be out of accord with yourself. I really don't know what to do, and I'm really admitting that I don't know what to do, but I do know I want love and I want peace to come in this situation. That I have no conflict about.
Right.
See what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's another part of the Course that talks about, and it really made so much sense to me that I was aware of why I had never thought of it. Most of us are studying this because we want to be able to give our problems or whatever is happened to us to a higher power greater than ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're basically trying to give things up to something greater than yourself, right? So the Course says, then why do you feel like it's your responsibility to solve somebody else's problem? Mm-hmm. If you're trying to give yours up, you're not even trying to solve your own. You know, you're really trying to give your own up, but you got to solve mine, and then you feel conflict if you can't. So he said, well, so what you do to increase your belief that you can give it to a power greater than yourself is that you give other people's problems to a power greater than yourself. So what you would say is, I give this person to the higher power, Holy Spirit, as part of myself. It's a prayer that goes like that in chapter 15. I know that I will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. Mm-hmm. See, in the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize we'll be released together. So what that person is really doing is giving you an opportunity to practice giving things to God and becoming aware that you can do that. The frustration is coming from you playing God. Mm-hmm. It's my job to get this person to wake them up, you know what I'm saying? And the best way you can wake them up is for you to apply the truth to yourself. That's the quickest way to wake people up, because if nothing else, they'll see the difference your teachings are making in your own life. Because it's all the people that want to get into your teaching when they basically see you as handling things the exact same way they do. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're basically handling it the same way they're handling it, which is be angry or frustrated or whatever, then you're not really doing anything any different than they're doing. So what good is your teaching doing? So why should they be open to your teaching? It hasn't had any effect on you. So, you know what I mean? So if I'm mad at you for not doing... So like, I had a situation that came up recently that I was, like, really angry, you know, at a person that was very close to me. And I realized, I had to realize that the worst thing that I can possibly do is try to act from an idealized self. That's the worst ego in the world, is the ego that tells you how you ought to be acting if you're going to be spiritual, or how you ought to be acting if you've really been studying this. But it's not the way you feel in the present moment, and the way you feel in the present moment is what's important. Not the way you want to feel. So first I had to admit to myself that I didn't like the way that I was feeling right now. Okay? Then the course says, you say to yourself, and so I hope I have been wrong. I don't want to be right when I don't like how I feel. Okay? Then you go, perhaps, you know, I want another way to look at this. Perhaps there is another way to look at this. What can I lose by asking? So right at the beginning of chapter 30. What can I lose by asking? And then you ask for another way, which I did. Then the answer came back. You know, do not communicate with this person until you can come from a space of peace and love. And since you really don't want to communicate with this person right now, because you know you're not seeing the situation correctly, but that doesn't mean you're not feeling what you're feeling, then you make an agreement with yourself that it's okay not to communicate with them until you get in a more healed place. As soon as I did that, I felt peace. When I was going to try to make myself talk to this person because it would have been a spiritual thing to do, I felt nothing but conflict. The minute I got it congruent with myself, I don't feel like talking to them right now, I'm not seeing this right now, and I'm not going to talk to them right now, but I'm going to go within. But I am going to go within. I am going to study, I am going to read, I am going to look for other ways. Then I went, and then I had an incredible day. But the old Earl, when he was fooled by his idealized ego, would have picked up the phone and tried to force a healing in the moment, because I'm so spiritual and I've been doing this so long, so I ought to be able to talk to him and get the thing, you know. And the truth is, I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to talk to him right now. And I've learned over the years that nothing good generally comes out of talking to people in anger, even though it seems like it's the logical thing to do. But usually it's best not to. But that's when the ego wants to talk the most. And matter of fact, the ego will grab them and say, you're going to talk to me. That's what you always do. Whenever we try to talk something out, then you leave. But you won't say nothing. Like, they're trying to do you a favor. They're leaving so that they won't kill you in some cases. They're leaving because they might say something that they'll regret later. And it's hard to take back words sometimes that you say to people in anger. So it's really best when you're angry not to let anybody talk you into talking to them until you have some semblance of centeredness. So how does that relate to this lesson? I was not wanting and doing different. Everybody with me?
Right.
Okay. All right. Now, then it says, this situation, he says, fear is always a sign of strain arising whenever what you want conflict with what you do. This situation, what situation? The situation that arises whenever what you want conflicts with what you do. It arises what? In two ways. So fear comes up in two ways. First, you choose to do conflicting things, either at the same time or success. Like all day long, I'm doing one thing after another thing after another thing. I'm going to a job I don't like. I'm with a person I don't like. I got a spiritual path I don't like. I got a car I don't like. I got a body I don't like. I got clothes I don't like. I'm doing one thing after another. I'm going to see some people I don't want to go see. I'm spending time. You know, all day long, I'm doing one thing after another that I don't really want to do. So I'm doing a bunch of stuff at the same time I don't really want to do. Okay, that causes fear. Mm-hmm. So don't you? So if that's true, can't you see why there's so much fear in the world?
Yeah.
If that's the cause of fear, then all of a sudden you see why there's so much fear in the world. Because the average person will tell you that they're not happy about something. Something that they're doing that they wish they were not doing, or they want to job. So they don't realize that every time they go to that job that they don't want to go to, the only thing they've done is made themselves afraid all day. And they just increase their fear. But they don't know that. You're in a relationship with somebody you don't look forward to. They're innocent, you're innocent, but you're just increasing your conflict. You're just increasing your fear. The more you do what you don't want to do, you're increasing fear. Now, you can't go cold turkey because we got too much guilt for that. Okay, so you know you can. You know, you might say, I don't really want to enjoy visiting my mama. And you know doggone well, if you don't go visit your mama, you'll feel more guilt than if you visited your mama. Yeah, okay, so you need to be honest with yourself and do what gives you the least amount of guilt and fear, right? But slowly, you can do it like, I'll eat the kind of food that I'll go to the restaurant I want to go to. You know, you just start wherever you can start to kind of like, as much as you can, do what you want to do. The reason why this works out great, when you're growing in spiritual consciousness, you find in your personal relationships, you get to a point that's forced intimate relationships, you have to be around somebody of a like mind. The reason why is because every time you try to practice the truth with someone who's of the illusion, they misperceive it, and you usually end up dealing with a bunch of crap. Okay, they're called, because the first thing they're going to do who don't know the truth, they're going to call you selfish every time you choose to do something because you want to do it and not, you don't feel like sacrificing for them and doing something you don't, because to the ego mind, the fear mind, of course, says love is sacrifice. So therefore, if you love me, you do a bunch of stuff you don't want to do. Just because you love me. So love is sacrifice. You sacrifice if you love me. If you don't, you're selfish. That's the way to work. So, but if I was with a person who was aware that love is about supporting the person and doing what they want to do, and then you told me you wanted to do something different from what I wanted to do, then I would be of the mindset of going, well, I really want you to do what makes you happy, and I really want to do what makes me happy, and you wouldn't stop me from doing what I wanted to do, and I wouldn't stop you from doing what you wanted to do, even if we didn't do it together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that felt so mature.
Yeah. Enlightenment is maturity.
Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's a great point. But that's not the way we play the game of love.
If you my woman, then you should want to ski if I want to ski.
You see what I'm saying? If you really love me, even though you don't like ballet, you go. See, love is sacrifice to the fearful mind. In other words, to the fearful mind, I'm going, if you love me, you're going to do stuff you don't want to do all the time. If you don't, I'm going to make you feel guilty about it until you do it. Just notice how mad you get at people who won't be affected by your anger and your guilt. Like if you ever had a situation where you were mad as you could be and the person was not responding, they were not letting your anger make them do what you wanted them to do. It freaks people out because anger is an attempt to make somebody do what you want them to do. That's all anger is. And we're going to feel that feeling because we've learned that. So that's why the Course says you have to be a happy learner, because you can't practice the Course and beat yourself up every time you have emotions that you were programmed to have over the years. Because you're not going to stop cold turkey. So if you beat yourself up every time you get mad because I said this today, you missed the whole point. Mm-hmm. You know, your anger now is just a way of getting in touch with the way you think. Now, it's your call for love. So it's not a condemnation. Okay, so he says, now when you do conflicting things, either simultaneously or successively, this produces conflicted behavior, which is intolerable to you. because the part of your mind that wants to do something else than what you're doing is outraged. So in other words, you're mad at yourself most of the time. Because you're mad because you're doing something you don't want to do. So outrage comes from doing what I don't want to do. What do you think about that? Does that make sense to everybody? It makes so much sense. It just does something to you, don't it? It just makes too much sense.
So are you saying clearly that the anger that I'm feeling or one's feeling is actually inside me and before it even... And then by the time it gets over there, it's already and ran through me.
Absolutely.
And running through me and running through me.
Right.
And
beautiful. The Course says what has an effect through you, what has an effect, what goes through you has an effect on you. So anything that goes through me, he says it affects you first. So if I'm mad, I feel the anger before you do. And actually, well, this is the part that really makes me mad. Because if I'm mad at you, and then I feel the anger, and then you don't feel angry, because you don't have to feel it. You don't have to buy into it. So I could be as mad as hell, and you could still be sitting up there like that. You know, so what am I doing? Anger. So I'm getting high blood pressure. I'm attacking my organs. I'm attacking myself emotionally. I'm killing my body. But about you. Because I'm mad at you. So if you do have a vindictive ego, and you haven't completely transcended it yet, you could have the good feeling of knowing that everybody that's angry at you are killing themselves, and you could feel good about that. Now, I'm not all the way Christ-like yet, so you attacking me, and it's like, oh, go take yourself out. See, I won't have to deal with your crazy. It's like, don't be mad. Go ahead. You know, because if I don't get mad, my vibration is different from yours. And so we're going to eventually repel each other. And I'll attract people of a more peaceful vibration. And you know what you're doing? You're sending out a signal to the universe. All angry, upset, in conflict people, come to me. Because we're on the same wavelength. And before you know it, you're surrounded by angry people who are also dissatisfied. So you got a bond relationship. Your friend does too. You broke, so that's why you think friends are birds of, this is what birds of a feather flock together. That's no accident. You know, very few really rich people are hanging out with really poor people. You know, you hang out with what's like you. And you attract to you what's like you. Even if you think you're so unique that you couldn't even meet anybody as way out as you. If you really way out, you'll meet really way out people. They're out there, but they don't respond to fake way out. You know, you can't be fake open-minded, fake free, fake uninhibited, fake loving. Because if you're fake loving, you think you're loving, but you'll be surrounded by people who are nothing like you to you, and you'll say, I'm this way, but all the people around me are not that way. No, that's not the way it works. You're faking it. If you were really what you say you are, then you'd really be surrounded by people who were on your wavelength. If you were really there. And so sometimes what happens is we mistake reading the truth with living the truth. So because we'll read a book, we think that maybe we chased our consciousness. So if you find that you read a lot, but your physical environment is the same, then that's what you're doing. You're reading it, but you're not living it. If you're living it, you'll have the people. If you're reading it, you won't. Okay, does that make sense? And you see that a lot in higher consciousness spiritual groups, where people read many, many different books, but their behavior stays the same. There's nothing really different about the way they approach their life than anybody else. And they're complaining because, well, I'm a Course student and I'm still going. No, no, you're a Course reader. And if you be honest, you're not really a Course reader. You know, you really haven't read it. I'm a Course listener sometimes if I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do later this evening. Maybe. Is that right? That's straight up, isn't it? Of course we know that's true. Okay. So that's the first cause of fear. And I do that from time to time. Does anybody else? Okay. So we understand why we feel fear. Okay. The second cause of fear, though, is my favorite. And it's the one the truth students do the most. Here we go. The second cause of fear is you can behave as you think you should, but without entirely wanting to do it. Mm-hmm. Did y'all relate to that? Yeah, you know, you start to get conscious, and you start, and you, and before you know it, you're always trying to behave the way the book says you should behave. Mm-hmm. But you don't really want to, but you're just behaving the way you should.
That's not the same as, like, I'm pissed at somebody, and I reflect, and I think of something that I pulled from course, or that I learned, or one of your tapes or something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, don't be a bitch back.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. Be that way. Be reminded and using the course. That's not the same.
If you are behaving as you think you should, but you don't want to, that's fear.
That's the conflict.
That's the conflict. If you're saying the course says I should respond this way, and I want to do that, then you're okay because you're not behaving the way you think you should, but not want to. You're behaving the way you think you should, and you are doing it.
Gotcha.
Okay, that's the trick of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So if whenever you're doing what you want to do, then you're never behaving as you think you should without entirely wanting to. Okay? If you go, the course says I should walk up to them and tell them that they're the loving child of God, and you, that's the last that thing in the world you want to do, but you're faking it. And then they know at a telepathic level that you're lying, because we're all in telepathic communication, because we're all one mind. So really everybody in this group knows what everybody in this group is really thinking. But we're pretending that we don't. And that's why people respond to what you're saying behind your words more than your words. And then again, it's the work just the opposite. You think you're not doing anything to deserve the love and peace that's coming to you. And you'll be shocked that people are treating you so lovingly, but they're still responding to what's behind your behavior, which is you're basically a loving person. And they're responding to that, whether your personality is being gregarious or whatever. You know, many times I go in situations and people are treating me better than I think I deserve to be treated based on what I'm doing, and I don't understand. You know, they're like, "Oh, yeah, that's like you. You got this really cool vibe energy that, you know, da 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 da." You know, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm not doing anything. And then there are times when I'm trying to project that image and they don't get it at all. You know, yeah. Because we're responding to what's behind what we're saying, not what we're doing superficially. Okay. So he says, now, what happens when you're doing one thing after another that you don't really want to do, you have inconsistent behavior. But if you're doing what you think, you're doing something that you don't really want to do, he says what happens is you have a consistent behavior, but you're under a great strain.
Yeah.
In other words, you always are behaving the same way, but it's not really the way you want to behave, so you're walking around with a lot of, I'm acting nice when I don't feel like acting nice, and I'm doing the job and I really don't want to. So he says, you be consistent. Like, that's the way we are now. It's like, regardless of how all of us are feeling inside, our behavior right now is completely consistent. We're all sitting here just like this. But we could be having a variety of feelings and emotions about everything. So we are experiencing behaving as we think we should, which is to sit here like this, right? While at the same time, we may be thinking something that's not related to this at all, you know? And that's a strain. Then you walk around and you're under strain all the time, but at least you look like a nice person. And you look like a sane person, you know? It's like being really, really mad right now and you're looking like this. Okay, so you may feel upset right now, but you're behaving as you think you should. And I'm not saying you should go off. I mean, use your common sense. But if I was able to go, whoa, you know, y'all, right now, I'm mad, I'm really mad, and I really don't feel like sitting here. I really just feel like sitting against the wall going, oh, man, I don't know what she's saying. Okay, then I wouldn't be under strain. Because I'd be behaving exactly how I feel.
Now, the challenge with that is when you're dealing with unconscious people, they don't understand that it's okay just to express your feelings nonviolently. So everybody would try to either correct me, heal me, tell me what's wrong with me, or try to fix me. This is the last thing they need to do. All you need to do is leave me alone to have my feelings safely and honestly, and those feelings will change to more peaceful feelings on their own if I can have the feeling without anybody messing with me. And then let me ask you, like you would say something like, if there's anything I can do to support you, let me know. And then I say, well, the truth is, I don't need you to correct me right now. I just need to just to share these feelings and just feel my feelings. I used to do that all the time. I would tell people that, and especially on the path, like a group like we have. I said, right now, I don't want anybody to fix me, but I'm going to say what I feel right now. And do you know it's damn near impossible for people to let you do that because it brings up their own stuff? It was so funny to me how many times I would say that to a group and still watch somebody in that group be compelled to say, well, yeah, but let me tell you, that's just an illusion. It's not you, because most people are great at quoting the truth about other people's problems and not applying it to their own. So then when you have a problem, everybody can pounce on you and tell you everything the Course says about how you should do. But when they are upset, they're not doing that for them because it's different. So what I've learned over the years is that it's best to just keep it to yourself until you know you're with someone that has proven to you that they have the ability to know that a healing is an honest expression of emotion. Because I've seen it. Because what it does is it plugs, I don't know what it is about it, but it just plugs in. People feel so, or usually brought up to feel so uncomfortable about anger and upset that the minute someone says they're angry or they feel a need to express it outwardly, people almost feel compelled to try to fix them. You know, or they would do, or for me, they would do the classic, oh, I can't believe you would get mad, especially after all the time you've been studying the Course. So if you get mad after all this time, what hope is there for me? So their ego would grab that as an opportunity to get them to get away from, to justify them not applying the truth to them. So I've just learned over the years that that's why most teachers always seem like they got it together.
Right.
Because they couldn't get anything done if they didn't. Because everybody, they don't realize the teacher that's got it together is wanting to tell you, I'm just like you. I'm working on the same thing you're working on. I'm trying to get my act together just like you are. I just may be more familiar with the tools, know how to come to the tools faster, know where to go faster. But if you see me, I'm learning just like you are learning. And the things I'm being presented with are relative to my level of consciousness, just like the things you're dealing with are relative to yours. So I may not be getting afraid because my girlfriend goes out to lunch with somebody, but I might be feeling afraid because I got to deal with the fact that I'm making a major transition in this whole fundamental level of my mind that creates my reality. That's still a fear. You see what I mean? So I got to deal with mine just like you deal with the girlfriend. You see, so it's not about the form at all. What makes us the same is that we all are learning how to let go of the fear. So there's no unequal levels.
I was really able to use all of this recently. Somebody I had a conflict with over a long, long time, and I finally said to him, I really need to just tell you about my anger, but not for you to say anything back. And if you can do that, you would really do a good service to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. And he literally held his mouth shut.
That's right.
And I said everything I had to say. And he just stood there and stared at me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I'm done. Thank you very much. And he said, all right. And I have been sleeping.
That's what I'm talking
like
about.
Like I haven't been forever.
Yeah, that's great.
So it shows that we both have really grown a lot.
That's right. It's like that they can let you do
and
it.
And I even did say, I know that this is about me,
mm-hmm.
and it's not about you,
mm-hmm.
but if I don't get a chance to say this, like, I think I'm going to carry it around mm-hmm. for the rest of
that's
the
right.
time.
That's right. That's awesome.
And it worked. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, like I used to be in a relationship that we were both in the Course together, you know, and it can be fun if you're really not afraid to do this stuff. But it would even get to the point that you would say, well, okay,
put this around my mouth. And you'd be funny in a way, because you couldn't talk. Because you want to.
It's something about it. I'm telling you, but somebody will just let you get it out. I'd much rather a person come in and ask them how they're doing, and they say, you know, right now I'm feeling really sad today. Then tell me the classic, fine.
Right.
You know, and you know you don't feel fine. Because you can say that to me, and I'm gonna see you as who you are. Now, I'll say this too. If it's people that are unconscious, by unconscious I mean not aware of this, say fine. I'm telling you, you don't not reveal your vulnerability to unconscious people. You don't do that. Because they see you in terms of whatever you're going through right now and not in terms of who you really are. So you'll be over it and they'll still be seeing you as, Earl's really messed up. Or every time they see you, they'll be going, are you all right? Last time I saw you, it looked like you was in bad shape. You know, they wallow in it. And they see you as that. So when you're dealing with someone who doesn't know the truth, if you can, it's great to show your invulnerability. And so, yeah, I'm fine. Because they're not going to help your energy. If they're not going to help your energy, why tell them that? But if you tell me you're upset, I'm going to go in my mind, this is an unlimited child of God. This just expressing her feelings to heal. And I wouldn't confuse you with the way that you're feeling today. And so I wouldn't be holding that image of you every time I saw you. So it's healing to share how you feel with people who have the right perception of healing. You should, by all means, let it all hang out with somebody who can really respond with trusting you. Because by them being quiet, they're actually witnessing to the fact that they think you are strong. That's part of what the silence is saying. Even though you're doing all this stuff, I know you'll be all right, so I can be here and just be with you. That's really witnessing to you. But the person who has to jump in is the person who believes you're weak. And that you need, you know, and if you didn't ask for it, and you said, you know, and they ask you, well, tell me what you need. They said, well, I don't need anything but you to be quiet right now and just be here with me and give me a, you know. Because I've had people do that, just call me up even if I wasn't on the phone, and they leave a message, and I just need to say, thank you, Earl, you know, and then next time I see them, boy, that really helped, right? Because they knew it was okay to just get it off, even if they didn't even talk to me, you know. So thank you for sharing with me.
I got a bone.
Mm-hmm. You got a bone with me. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
That website.
A master guy for the same reason. He's like always. He's very lovingly. He's always coming up with. I don't want to do more. I want to do less. And that's just something else for me to do. And I already have enough to do. And so I like to do everything when I feel like it. And that's hard for people to get when you live that way. Yeah. I don't do stuff because I should or ought to. I always try to do stuff because I want to, because then love is behind it. And every time I do something with love behind it, it always works out better than whenever I do something because I ought to do it. And that's what's happening. And so I'm having to deal with, right, me being true to not being true to myself.
That's unacceptable.
Right. And so that's what happens. And when you're untrue to yourself, you generate a person being dissatisfied with something about it. I mean, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? We cool. You know what I'm saying? But that's the way it always works. It's like the more you do what you want to do, because that had never been on there, which is what I wasn't that interested in anyway, then you would have never had the expectation, which means you never would have been upset about it. So it all comes back to me being willing to be separate from what I loved, which is my own peace. And in the world, it is hard for people to get that because the world is so much about always doing shoulds, alters, and gotchas. And so when somebody meets somebody that doesn't live that way, it freaks them out. It freaks them out. Yeah.
I'll take you any way I can get you.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what people say they love you. Is there any kind of way I can have you? It's all right. Since we both at peace about it, it's going to be all right. But that's a gradual transition. That's not something that happens overnight. And I think it's great that you're upset about something that has to do with experiencing more. You know, no, but I'm just saying that that's a good point, though. You wouldn't have said that unless there was a lesson that we could get out of that. So,
right,
so I'm glad about that. I'm glad about that. But I realize that, and that's what I'm in the process of doing right now in my own personal life. I'm literally going through everything. My relationships, the way how I deal with teaching, every area of my life that I'm behaving as I think I should and not really want to, or doing anything that I don't want to do, I'm making a list of all of those things, and I'm getting ready to not do them. And some people might like some of the not doing I decided to do. Some people might not. But if I'm at peace within myself, then I'll attract people who will be at peace with the way that I do it. And then the people that don't, they'll go wherever they need to go. But I used to be so attached to people that I would sacrifice not to lose anybody. Rather than not take the chance of losing anybody, then I would try to accommodate everybody. And guess what? Didn't please nobody. Y'all know that this is the truth, because we've all done it. The people you tried the hardest to accommodate and sacrifice for, I bet you anything, that was the person that was either didn't appreciate it, didn't see it, or at least was glad about it, would show you their love about it. And then when you, those periods in your life where it looked like you were more selfish or more self-centered, that was when you were happier, and that's also when you had more people around you who accepted you for who you are. You know, like you say, hey, look here, I like to smoke. Okay? That's the way I am. You know, that's the case. I mean, I don't smoke, but that was the case. Well, the person has a choice if they don't want to be around somebody that smokes or not smoke. I don't have to change my lifestyle because you don't like something. When you don't have to be around me, it's not like we tied that link to the hip, that you just got to be with me. Now, if we're going to be in a special relationship, now that's a different, we really need to be clear, don't we? And that's why we can't enter into relationships as lightly as we do. You know, oh, I saw him, I'm attracted to him, I'm going to be with him. It's like, oh, do you know what you just decided to do? You just said, I'm willing to go through the effects of this person's thinking with them. That I'm willing to have to go through the result of the way you think with you. So if you don't handle money right, and I'm in a relationship, then I got to go through that with you. If you got a temper, then I got to go through that with you. If you don't take responsibility, then I got to go through that with you. But if you're a loving person, I go through that with you. If you're a kind person, you know what I mean? So when you form a relationship, you're really saying, I'm making an agreement to go through the result of the way you are with you. And when you think about that, it'll make you much more discerning about how fast you get intimately involved with somebody. Because we all know the initial physical attraction honeymoon period. All of us old enough to know you always go through that. Because that's how you get attracted to the lesson. That's like the worm at the end of the hook. You know, oh, God, it's so terrible. I'm like, can I get to them? I can get to them quick. Ah! You know, that's the hook in the worm. Gotcha.
Yep.
You know, you gotta go, what kind of fish am I catching? You know, what am I fishing for? Hey, okay, good. Hey, all right. Because the core says, when you say the essential thing is knowing that you don't know. And the minute you say you don't know, he says that is an automatic request for spirit to give you the answer. But it's not until you're willing to admit that you don't know that the universe can really help you. As long as you think you know, you're saying, don't help me, I don't need it. Don't help me, I don't need it. Don't help me, I don't need it. I need it. So that's what I do in every area of my life. I don't know what this relationship is for. I don't know what this financial situation is. I don't know what teaching here is for. I don't know what this relationship is for. I don't know. I don't know. So the universe can keep pumping me information and pumping me support.
I don't know. Do nothing. I don't know. Do nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't perceive my own best interest. I don't perceive my own best interest.
Talk about minimalism.
Yeah.
You know, pull back. Pull back.
I don't perceive my own best interest. I don't know what this is for. You know, show me Holy Spirit, show me higher self. I don't know, especially when I'm unhappy. That's when you should really go into the I don't know. If you're miserable, I don't know. I don't know how to do relationships. Why? Because I'm miserable. I don't know the right way to look at this person. Why? Because I'm angry. I don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he'd give you the answer, well, see it as a call for love. I didn't say you had to do anything. I said, see it as a call for love.
Just start out there. There's whatever's going on. It's a call for God's help. See, just see that much about it. It's a call for help. So you don't have to do nothing necessarily, but just see it differently. That just opens you up a little bit to let some light in.
Yeah.
And then the answer can come. Alrighty. So as much as you can, your assignment is to not do things you don't want to do all day. And as much as you can, don't behave as you think you should without really wanting to. And then we're going to finish this section gradually. So please go ahead and read this section, because it's really, to me, one of the main sections of the book. It's called Fear and Conflict. And it's about how to get past that. It's a really good section. Alright, troops. You ready to go back out into the lab? Well, I think I won't see you until next Wednesday. Have an incredible Christmas, which the course defines as the end of sacrifice. That, so if you're looking at it, so it's really Mary, end of sacrifice. Mary, end of losing. Mary, end of loss. Yeah, and that's what it symbolizes. And I'm ready to let go of sacrifice and loss. And that's what I'm symbolizing. That's what it's about, though. The birth of who we really are. Yeah. So it's okay not to talk to nobody you don't want to talk to.